Wisconsin's 29th Assembly District has been in Republican hands since 2005. It's a district with a mixed personality. Lots of farmland, but three campuses of higher education in the University of Wisconsin-Stout in Menominee, the Chippewa Valley Technical College campus in Menominee, and the Wisconsin Indian Head Technical College in New Richmond. There are only three cities in the district, but much of the district is considered part of the Twin Cities metro area. Today's program features three individuals who want to represent the district in the assembly and are on the Republican ticket for next month's primary election. We'll get their views and let them hear yours as well. It's the 29th Assembly Republican primary debate here on the West Side. Good morning to you. I'm Dean Kallenbach. The 29th District is made up of parts of St. Croix and Dunn counties. Cities in the district are Menominee, New Richmond, and Glenwood City, along with the villages of Baldwin, Hammond, Woodville, Boyceville, Star Prairie, Knapp, Downing, Deer Park, and Wilson. The current Assembly representative for District 29 is Rob Staschult. That New Richmond Republican, rather than running for re-election to the Assembly, has decided to run instead for the 10th District State Senate seat currently held by Democrat Patty Schachner. Staschult faces fellow Republican Cherie Link of Somerset in the primary, and will have their debate 2 weeks from today. Meanwhile, let's meet the candidates for the 29th District Assembly Republican primary. Clint Moses is a Menominee chiropractor and sheep and cattle farmer, and is a member of the Menominee Board of Education. Clint Moses, welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Neil Klein is a former staffer to former State Senator Sheila Harsdorf and also worked for the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection in Wisconsin. He now works in St. Paul and lives in New Richmond. Neil Klein, welcome to the West Side.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Ryan Shirley owns a Hudson-based commercial construction firm. He holds a bachelor's degree in political science from Arizona State University and lives in New Richmond as well. Ryan Shirley, great to have you along today.
Thanks for having me.
So these three candidates are competing for a ballot spot against Democrat John Calabrese of Menominee in the November election. If you have a question or an issue you'd like to bring up today for our candidates, our phone lines are open now, 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615, or you can email ideas@wpr.org, email ideas@wpr.org. So let's begin. Neil Klein, let's start with you. Tell us why you're running for Assembly.
Well, again, thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to talk to folks about the campaign. And I'm really excited about the run for State Assembly and the opportunity to talk about the issues that I'm really passionate about. And for me, you know, I grew up in Polk County, just north of the 29th Assembly District, before going off to UW-Madison for my undergraduate degree and working for former Senator Sheila Harsdorf. You kind of provide a little bit of background there, but in my time kind of away and then coming home, I'm really anxious about the future of small towns and places similar to where I grew up in Milltown and Balsam Lake. And you noted the rural nature of much of the 29th Assembly District and the small towns that make it up. And I think it's important that we focus on how we make sure people who live in those towns and those towns themselves can support themselves going forward. I'm really worried about that. And for that reason, I'm focused on education and jobs and healthcare because I think that those issues are tools. And if people can support themselves, they can support their families, and then they can support their communities. And that means ultimately that government will be less required to come in and support people in life if they can do it themselves. So I feel really passionately about that. I'm enjoying talking to people around the 29th District on that issue, and I'm looking forward to the debate and the rest of the election.
That's Neil Klein. Ryan Shirley, what inspired you to throw your hat in the ring?
Well, thanks again for having me. You know, I grew up in St. Croix County for most of my life. I grew up in Hudson and then went to Arizona State University and then back here to St. Croix County after I graduated. But being involved in the community in St. Croix County and seeing how people in this area are not seeing the economic development in St. Croix County that we are in the rest of the state. I think we can do a much better job at that. That'll create an economy that drives business towards growth and success. You'll see it'll create jobs, not even more jobs, but better jobs, and it'll allow us to lower taxes and reduce some over-regulation in those businesses as well that will attract those companies coming in. So that's a hot topic for us on our run here, and mental health is another one. Creating a public-private partnership for a facility in western Wisconsin. You know, right now our officers, if they're having any issues, are driving all the way down to Winnebago to find a facility for someone to get some help. So we need to definitely make some better strides in that area as well, as long as a list of others. But it's been great getting out and talking to people in the 29th, and I look forward to more of that.
That's Ryan Shirley. Clint Moses, explain what drew you to get on the ballot.
Hey, I've been excited about politics for a long time. I live on a small farm in the township of Menominee with my wife, Nora, and my four daughters. In addition to farming, I own and operate a couple businesses, the chiropractic business, and then I have some others as well. When I'm not working, I'm either attending one of my girls' activities, doing family stuff, serving my community. Over the years, I've served my community both professionally on various boards, charitable organizations, from Boy Scouts, nursing home boards, past chair of the Community Foundation of Dunn County, past president of the Menominee Rotary Club. I'm a Farm Bureau member, and I am currently a school board member. As you mentioned earlier, I'm the board clerk for the school district of the Menominee area. I decided to run for the 29th because a lot of my days in my office are spent listening to people's problems, and you'd be surprised, they're not always health-related. People out there are hurting in the 29th district, and they want to be heard down in Madison. So that's really what motivated me. As you can already tell, any of the callers can probably, anyone listening in can tell, there's a lot of similarities. When we're talking about a Republican primary, I think a lot of us share a lot of the same views. So really what sets the candidates apart is experience and leadership. I've been in my community for 20 years, as you mentioned earlier, as a chiropractor. I listen, I bring people together, I problem solve, I care. I care about healthy communities, affordable access to health care. Mental health is a big one for me. I also have an undergraduate in psychology and a little bit of mental health background as well. I care about clean and sustainable environments in our 29th. Once again, I also care about revitalizing our small towns and protecting our small towns through pro-business policy creation, which involves cutting some of the red tape and some of the regulations that are on our small businesses. I have experience. Obviously, I've started a couple businesses. I operate a couple of them. My name's on both sides of the check. So I guess what it really comes down to is experience. My number one issue is protecting family and your personal rights, your constitutional rights. Those are a big deal, especially with what's been going on so far in 2020. We're walking a fine line between protecting public health and taking away the rights of our citizens. So to me, that is my number one priority, my number one thing right now. And then, obviously, ensuring responsible use of tax money that's being collected here in western Wisconsin and ending up in other parts of the state. So I'm a real advocate. I'm the one with the experience and the know-how to get things done. So that's what I've got.
That's Clint Moses. You're listening to the candidates in the 29th Assembly District Republican primary, which is coming up August 11th. You can call with your questions for these candidates, 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. We have two open lines right now. And you can also email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. So the issue top of mind right now is the coronavirus pandemic. Ryan Shirley, I'm wondering, what do you think of the state government's response to COVID-19, and what, if anything, would you have done differently?
I believe that our governor really messed up our response to start with. One of our issues, another one of our issues that I really hope that somebody takes care of this before we have a chance to get down to Madison. But if not, I will pledge that I will lead the charge to reduce the emergency action that the governor has from 60 days down to 30 days. There's no reason that the governor should have to have 60 days of emergency action without the legislature response. He can come to the legislature realistically much less than 30 days, and work together with them to figure out what really needs to happen. So that was a bad start of what happened, and that really closed down our economy, and that's what people are feeling, not only in their personal lives but in their businesses. And then as we restarted again, you know, some of the communities, not necessarily in the 29th, but some of the other communities outside the 29th, we're seeing some overregulation in businesses, how they restart, how they do that. You know, in reality, as a business owner, you know, we're not going to open our doors and bring our customers any ill will or any intentionally do anything that's going to bring harm to them. So we really have to trust that the people have their best interest at heart. You know, people will go out and they will do the things that they're allowed to do. That's your individual rights. And for government to tell you that you can't is wrong. And, you know, if you have the COVID issue is, I mean, if you have an issue that makes you higher risk, then you should take that responsibility on yourself and don't go out or find other ways to get the things done that you need to get done. And that's what it comes down to, is your individual rights. And that's really where we, I think, as a state, messed up the first 60 days here in reaction to this pandemic.
The Republican leadership in the legislature did go to the Supreme Court to stop the Evers administration's Department of Health Services from enforcing safer at home orders back in May. And now 2/3 of the state's counties, including St. Croix, show high COVID-19 activity levels. Clint Moses, I'm wondering, did the Republican legislature make the right move by pushing back on Governor Evers' department's orders?
I totally think they did. He was overstepping the rights of the people. I think a lot of this stuff really comes down to just good common sense, good practices when it comes to hygiene. Obviously, I'm a big believer of local control, local government having a say in how things are run. More of a regional plan would have been nice to see early on. Something for the southeast part of the state doesn't necessarily apply or work well up in this part of the state. So I think the legislature really had no choice, because what was going on with the governor and the very restrictive nature of some of the stuff that was coming out of his office, they really had to step in to do something. So I don't think it had anything to do with it. I think we're going to see those numbers rise, obviously, as there's more testing. In fact, something interesting that was just in the news yesterday that I saw, there was actually confirmed cases of mask-to-mask infection with the COVID-19 in the California Assembly. Assemblywoman Autumn Burke actually tested positive, along with 5 other legislators and employees. So really, this has been a very much an unknown territory, and we're learning a lot as we're going with this, but I think we're going to continue to see those numbers go up just because of testing. I think today, for instance, there was 12,560 some negative coronavirus tests in the state, and then 750 positive tests. So we're just seeing more and more go up as we're seeing more tests. So to answer your question, I think the legislature did the right thing by stepping in as our constitutional rights were being infringed on.
The legislature didn't have anything in place to replace the Evers administration's safer at home orders once they were blocked by the Supreme Court. That did result in a checkerboard of different county guidelines and orders. Neil Klein, if you were in the legislature, what, if anything, would you have done differently?
Well, I think it's been touched on. Clint raised a good point, and I agree with him, that I think the regional plan that had been discussed earlier on in all of this was, a really interesting and potentially really effective way to move forward. Northwestern Wisconsin and Western Wisconsin is not the same as Southeastern Wisconsin, and using a one-size-fits-all approach, I think, from a public policy perspective, really doesn't make that much sense. And allowing for a regionalized approach or a county-based approach to try and handle what is a pressing public health challenge for everyone across the 29th district and across the state makes quite a lot of sense to me. And I agree as well. I think we all share the view that it's incumbent on people to take the steps necessary to protect themselves and to protect their families. I know my family, which still lives up in Polk County and over in the Twin Cities, we've changed our habits. as a result of the pandemic. We don't get together the way that we used to. If we do, we're more cautious about how we do it. My grandparents, it's a similar situation with them. So I think that people do need to take the personal responsibility to protect themselves and their families. And if they don't, and if instead we rely on government to come in and tell us what to do, I believe we are stepping on to a slope that that could become a bit slick and could result in infringements on our personal rights and liberties that we shouldn't be comfortable with, even if some of us are. I'm not. I think many people across the 29th District aren't. And that we have to make sure that we take that personal responsibility seriously and that we lead our lives in a healthy and a safe and a respectful way. And that's incumbent on every single person to do. So to your question, I think a regional approach would have been a really reasonable way forward. And I hope and expect, I think, that people take those steps seriously to protect themselves and to protect their families and their communities.
That's Neil Klein. We're hearing from the three candidates running for the Republican primary for the 29th Assembly District, that primary taking place on August 11th. The candidates are Clint Moses, Ryan Shirley, and Neil Klein. What issues do you want to bring before those legislative candidates today? Share your questions at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org, or by calling 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. This is Dean Kallenbach, and you're listening to The West Side on the Ideas Network.
Our audience for Wisconsin Public Radio here in western Wisconsin is pretty special. Loyal, smart, lots of strong leadership. But then, you knew that, because you listen. Business sponsorship on WPR gives your organization a chance to be recognized as a supporter of this station to that audience. Learn more about business sponsorship on Wisconsin Public Radio by contacting Diane Nordell here in our Eau Claire office, 800-228-5615.
Support for WPR comes from the Museum of Wisconsin Art, partnering with art institutions throughout Wisconsin for Chalk the State, where anyone can join and turn their driveways and sidewalks into chalk artwork. Chalkthestate.com.
Support also comes from Charter Bank, dedicated to investing in partnerships and offering Charter Bank business services with small business loans, treasury management services, and a variety of checking accounts. Details are at charterbank.bank.
Garden Talk with Larry Mueller comes up at 11. Adding a new plant to your garden is part of the pleasure of gardening, but sometimes they just don't live up to your expectations. Larry and his guest expert Roy Diblick talk about how to be more realistic when it comes to our garden plants. Next week on the West Side, we check in to see how Western Wisconsin nonprofits are doing, especially those who help low-income individuals and families in the midst of the pandemic. And 2 weeks from today, we have another Republican legislative primary debate, this time featuring Cherie Link of Somerset and Rob Staffschult of New Richmond, who are competing for a place on the ballot against incumbent State Senator Patty Schachner of Somerset. That's 2 weeks from today on the West Side. We're back now talking about talking with the candidates in the 29th Republican Assembly primary. That will be coming up on August 11th. They are Ryan Shirley, Clint Moses, and Neil Klein. And Clint Moses, I'd like to go to you with the next question, this time on the topic of health care. You and your wife own Red Cedar Chiropractic. You said in your campaign materials that affordable health care and insurance is an important part of your platform. What should the state be doing to improve health care accessibility?
Well, this is a perfect question for me. It's right in my wheelhouse, so to speak. I'm the only candidate with experience and extensive knowledge of our healthcare and our insurance industry. I've been working in it down in the trenches for 20 years. I've been an in-network chiropractic provider for pretty much every insurance out there under the sun. One of the things that has to happen is some of those networks have got to open up a little bit. I'm a free market economy guy, so I believe that competition will help quite a bit. People need to be able to choose where they can go. The restrictive PPOs of kind of the late 80s, 90s, even into the 2000s proved to be very costly. A lot of times when you're talking about like the Obamacare, the National Health Care Bill, when you've got people sitting at the table making the decisions that are also some of those third-party payers, some of your large UnitedHealthcare-type groups, that's a problem. There's a conflict of interest there. They're looking out for basically their stocks and their profits and not necessarily the people, the subscribers, or the members that they're supposed to be serving. So one of the things I'd like to see is less restriction, regulation on where people can go. Even reciprocity between states. You know, it's quite frequent in our office here in Menominee. We've got UW Stout here in town. We have a number of Minnesota students. We even have some from Illinois. A number of them come up to our community and don't have any coverage for dental, chiropractic, or medical care because they're outside of their region or their area. So it becomes an out-of-network benefit, which costs that client significantly more. Other than emergency services, those are obviously, there's reciprocity there, but the rest of it is not. So it's very, very costly. We see a lot of red tape when it comes down to it, a lot of clinical reviews that were put through. I have a number of friends that are dentists, orthopedists, podiatrists, that type, and they face the same challenges that I do, where we many times are spending more time and paying more staff time to basically get our claims paid. You know, a chiropractic visit is typically under $40 in western Wisconsin, or certainly under $50, and some of these insurance companies are spending far more than that just to contest these claims that are coming through. And our Medicaid system is not the answer either. Our Medicaid system was actually better prior to the Obamacare being introduced. It was more of a graduated plan where if a certain individual got out, tried to get ahead and try to do something to contribute to society and work and feel good about themselves, they'd pay on a ability to pay or a sliding scale basis. Well, now many of those members have been cut off completely, and the only people that are covered under the Medicaid are those that are not working or disabled and not contributing because they're likely not able to contribute. So I'd like to see some of those changes come back, and that was kind of more in the Scott Walker era. A few years back, and some of it's obviously dictated by the federal government, but as much as we can do at the state assembly, I would definitely like to see some of the restrictions lifted on that. So,
Republicans have been wary of too much government intervention in healthcare issues, both on the state and the national level. Neil Klein, what is the government's role in this issue?
Well, I think that there's certainly roles in protecting patients and other kinds of things that the government obviously has some role to play in, but I also think that part of the government's role is to get out of the way. And it's the number of times when I'm talking to people in the healthcare sector where they say, please just kind of get out of our way, let us do what is best for patients, is quite stark for me. And I come at this from a personal angle. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and it involves quite a lot of interactions with not only my insurance company and getting all the supplies I need, but then also with doctors and lab tests and the whole kit and caboodle. So as an end user, I see every day the challenges that the current healthcare system places on people not only in the 29th, but across Wisconsin. And I am troubled by all of the red tape and the complicated things that get in the way of people getting the care that they need. And I was really excited to be able to announce my campaign actually at an interesting and an innovative, I think, approach to delivering healthcare, which is the Be Well Clinic in Baldwin. It's a really interesting partnership between three local manufacturing companies there in the Baldwin School District, and they opened up a clinic, an employer-sponsored clinic there in Baldwin. If you're an employee of any one of the four partner organizations, you can attend, or you can go to the clinic, rather. And anything that the clinic can provide, which is a wide range of, kind of general practice, common care sort of procedures and services, you're able to get for free. And when I was talking to the folks who work there, they were telling me about employees who would come in. They hadn't been to the doctor in years, and they hadn't been for any number of reasons. It was too expensive. It was too difficult to get it to work with their work schedule. Their children hadn't been to the doctor in any number of years either for those same reasons. And so I think that we do need to look for innovative and effective ways to make sure that healthcare works for everyone. And again, I come at this as someone who is an end user, and those are the people that we have to have in mind. Doctors and dentists and everyone across the healthcare spectrum are here to serve patients. And we have to make sure that that kind of patient-centered approach is taken. And so to your question, again, about what role government plays, I think we have to be cautious about making sure that government is playing the right role, and our predisposition needs to be asking whether or not government should be playing a role in the first place. When government becomes involved, it becomes more complicated. And to that, for that reason, we have to make sure that we're trying to get government out of the way as much as possible.
Ryan Shirley, you say on your website, and you mentioned earlier in the show, that we have to work hard to help people struggling with mental illness. How does that concern translate into legislation, and what other healthcare positions do you have as it relates to your run for the state legislature?
Yeah, on the mental health issue, I kind of touched on it earlier. We need to create a public-private partnership with a facility in the area in western Wisconsin that that people can go to if they have issues, that our police officers can bring people that are having issues, that they don't have to drive all the way down to Winnebago and take up that much of an hour of a police officer's hours during the week, driving people back and forth that long of a distance. And also, to touch on more of the healthcare issues, free market is definitely where we have to stand on healthcare. Government has to get out of the way, let the free market take control. It will reduce costs and allow more competition in, not only in providers, but having more competition in the insurance marketplace. In my part of St. Croix County, I have the choice of two or three different insurance providers, and that's all there is. If we open that up where we have, if we could double that in the number of insurance providers that are available, that will drive insurance premiums down. Also, cross-state coverage is also important. I know Clint talked about that a little bit earlier. That is definitely, definitely important thing to do. And it's red tape. But everything that drives this is economic growth. That not only will that help in the healthcare market, but it will, by bringing better benefits for employees, better jobs that will have those better benefits, and those businesses are where we have to rely on innovative ideas to flow from. Those are innovators, and if government tries to innovate new healthcare laws, we know how that works. It doesn't, and it has to start with businesses. And as a business owner, health insurance is our largest benefit expense by far. We have six employees that have healthcare coverage, and I will tell you that it is the equivalent of having another full-time employee on our payroll right now to pay our monthly healthcare expenses. So if we can bring in the economic growth that will drive those costs down, I think that that will lead us in the right direction and get government out of the way and reduce the red tape in there will help as well.
Ryan Shirley of New Richmond, Neil Klein of New Richmond, Clint Moses of Menominee, all running as Republicans in the primary for the 29th Assembly District, that primary taking place August 11th. If you'd like to ask them a question, 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Chuck from Shatek is on the line, and he'd like to ask a question of our candidates. Chuck, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And I was wondering, we have several statewide laws in the state. Building codes are statewide, same codes for the entire state. And well, let's take seatbelts. If I get in my car, I'm required by law to wear a seatbelt. Being this COVID thing, would you be in favor of making, since it's not going away, obviously, COVID, and since it took like 3 years to develop a vaccine for Ebola, and we don't have a vaccine for AIDS yet and other things, would the candidates that are running be in favor of a statewide mask law, no different than a statewide seatbelt law, and that seatbelt would save my life? Mask law might save somebody else's life and my own. Or would you buck the governor on it?
All right. Thank you for that question, Chuck. We appreciate that. Let's go first. Let's ask that question of all three candidates. Neil Klein, why don't you start? Are you in favor of a statewide mask law?
Well, I think it ties back to what we were talking about earlier, which is that people need to take that individual and personal responsibility. I think that wearing a mask is a decision that each person can make for themselves, and that that they should be entitled to make. And it comes back to making sure that government is not becoming too close to telling us what we should or should not do, or can and cannot do. And I think that that idea relates very closely to that issue. And so right now I'm not in favor, I think, of a statewide mask law. I think that people, as we said, need to take responsibility and make sure they're protecting themselves, their families, and protecting others.
Ryan Shirley, how do you respond to Chuck's question about a statewide mask law?
I would not be in favor of a statewide mask law either. It is your personal responsibility to do that if you so desire. If you are a higher risk, then you need to take additional precautions, as with not only COVID, but other issues that are out there as well. You know, if there are other health problems going on, it's your personal responsibility, not the government's, to tell you how you're supposed to protect yourself. And creating a mask law just isn't the answer for that. You know, there's some people that have health conditions that will restrict them from wearing a mask, or wearing a mask for long periods of time. That is definitely not the answer, a one-size-fits-all kind of idea there.
Clint Moses, what's your take on a statewide mask law?
Boy, once again, I think we're definitely all in agreement on this. You know, if the government really, truly cared about our health, they'd shut down all the fast food. My business is located between a Taco Bell and a McDonald's here in Menominee, and if they were really concerned about our health in this situation, they'd close down fast food. They'd tell us we couldn't drink soda, alcohol, smoke cigarettes, and anything else harmful to you. So although I do think the masks may be beneficial for vulnerable populations, it's not the government's job to protect my health. It's the government's job to protect my rights. It's my job to protect my health. When you trade liberty for safety, you really end up losing both in the end. So, no, I would not be in favor of a statewide mask law.
The candidates are Clint Moses, the voice you just heard from Menominee, Ryan Shirley of New Richmond, and Neil Klein of New Richmond. They're running for the assembly seat in the 29th district. They're running in a primary on August 11th on the Republican side of the ticket for the right to face John Rocco Calabrese of Menominee in the fall election. Again, the 29th Assembly District is parts of Dunn and St. Croix counties, including Glenwood City, New Richmond, and Menominee among the cities in the district. And, of course, there are several villages as well. 800-228-5615 is the number for you to call, 800-228-5615, if you'd like to ask a question of the candidates. And you can also email us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back now with the candidates for the primary election in the 29th Assembly District on the Republican side of the ticket. They are Ryan Shirley, Neil Klein, and Clint Moses. 800-228-5615, your number to call if you'd like to be part of the conversation. Let's go to the topic of education, if we can. The pandemic and resulting shutdowns have wreaked havoc on our education systems. Public schools quickly had to figure out how to teach virtually. Schools in the UW system, including Stout in your district, have resorted to layoffs, or resorted to furloughs, at least, in an effort to mitigate losses. Technical colleges are finding it hard to do hands-on training while physically distancing. Neil Klein, what should the state do to support our schools and colleges?
Well, I appreciate you raising this issue. I think it's a core challenge that's facing our state, not only in the short term, but also facing rural communities in the long term. And we're lucky in Wisconsin to have, I think, one of the strongest higher education systems in the country. And I've been really fortunate to have the experience of seeing it up close, not only as a student, both going through high school here in Wisconsin, but then also in college as well, but then also while working for Sheila Harsdorf, and prior to that, while working at the University of Wisconsin System Administration offices in Madison. We are lucky to have the higher education system that we have here. And I think one of the things that the state really needs to focus on is working to close the gap between high school and technical college. In many cases, as a student going through high school, not too long ago, in all honesty, of course, not too long ago, the emphasis that was placed on four-year college worked out really well for me. I was a four-year college-bound student, and there were lots of options for me to advance that education. I dual-enrolled at UW-Stout and drove to Menominee 2 days a week and took courses at UW-Stout while I was still in high school, in addition then to AP courses and all the whole kind of bevy of options for four-year-bound students. We have to make sure that those options are available for technical college students as well. And I know in the 29th District, New Richmond and Menominee school districts are uniquely positioned to provide that for their students, and they do, and I give them credit for that. But the challenge is making sure that students in Boyceville and Glenwood City and Baldwin also have those options, St. Croix Central. Across the 29th District, every student who might be interested in a technical college degree or a technically skilled trade or career needs to have that opportunity. So working to make sure that they can get those credits while they're in high school is critically important, I think, to not only their own individual future, but then their capacity to support their families and that capacity then to support their communities. So the state's role in this, I think, is an important one, and we have to make sure that those options are available for students across every spectrum of K-12 and high school education, private education, homeschoolers, the whole kit and caboodle. We have to make sure that we're preparing students to support themselves and their families, and I feel very strongly about that, and that's one of the focuses of this campaign.
The last state budget increased payments to public schools, though not as much as Governor Evers has proposed. Ryan Shirley, is the funding formula to pay for education in need of reform?
I don't believe that. I think that the last session here where they increased per capita student funding pretty drastically, you know, not nearly as much as, like you said, as the governor would have liked, but I think that was way too much to ask for. So what the Republican leadership did, I think, was great. I don't think that increased funding at this time is what we necessarily need to do. We had a great Supreme Court ruling last week on open enrollment and tax credits for students that are looking at private school, homeschool. You know, I think that that's really important for students and parents to have a choice, whether you homeschool, you send them to private school, send them to a school in a different district if you don't like the district that you're in. Creating, again, going back to kind of a business mindset, that's where I go. It's what I do. But creating that business mindset in schools is what needs to be done, not only on a university level, which you see a little more than, say, high school, but at the high school level as well. If you bring the competition in there where people have more choices, more options that are available to them, then they will be able to, high schools and colleges will be able to recruit better teachers, create a better environment and for all of the students. Having that local control, I think that's the most important. Having your local school district and your counties having that control over what's going on in the schools in your area, because what's going on in Madison isn't what's going on up here. And we need to keep that local control for our taxpayers up here, because that's one of the biggest items on your property tax statements is your school districts and your technical colleges. So having that control here is very, very important. And to go back to with the pandemic, with the virtual learning as well, you know, I think going back into this, I don't know, we haven't yet seen how necessarily each school district is going to react to how this is going to happen. I think some of our CDC regulations are looking a little cumbersome on what they would like our schools to look like going back in the fall. But again, that's a national level trying to control everything all the way down. And I think we need to really look on that local level to lead us. And and how that those public schools are going to look like in the fall, because we do need to go back. Our kids need to go back into a learning environment, and we need to figure out a safe way to do that. But we also need to be realistic, because our kids, especially when you're looking at elementary school kids, they're not going to have the ability, as well as everybody would like, for them to wear a mask all day and to stay away from each other. It's not realistic. So we need to come up with realistic goals and how we're going to do this in the fall. And our local leaders have to take control on that.
Clint Moses, you see issues on education from the perspective of being a member of the Menominee School Board. So what's your take on the legislature's role on public education as well as the tech colleges and the university system?
To be honest, this is one of the reasons that really motivated me to step it up and run for state assembly, because of the policy creation and the control and some of the positive things that the legislature can do for our local schools. As a school board member, you know, there's only so much we can do. We can set local policy, but as far as policies that affect funding and the overall performance of our schools, it's really tough. So that's one of the main reasons I wanted to run for assembly, is to try and have more of an impact. We're quite fortunate. Here in western Wisconsin, we've got great schools. For the most part, our local school districts do a good job. If you look at our state testing scores, we're all in the upper tier for the most part. Our college and our CBTC, our New Richmond WITC technical colleges are both very, very good. Here at Menominee, and this was already brought up, but here at Menominee, we've got a great program, a great relationship with our tech college, CVTC, here in Menominee. For a number of years now, our students have been able to get their CNA before graduation, before graduating high school. So people that are going into healthcare or going into nursing already got their first step done, and they've got their CNA certificate. Recently, we've expanded and approved. Now, it'll be interesting to see how this goes with the COVID situation. But prior to that, back in February, our board actually approved some more associate degree programs, including the trades like HVAC, welding, and some of the other trades, electrical, that type of stuff, so people could get a start, at least get their associate degree. I am big on the technical college programs that are out there. My dad was an industrial arts shop teacher, so he actually taught welding, plastics, woodworking, all that type of stuff. So I'm quite fortunate. I can be pretty handy on my own, and I definitely value the trades. Every day I have a number of those clients come in here, so I appreciate them. And a lot of those people are walking out the door with very good paying jobs. I have a friend that owns a plumbing business here in Menominee, and he's starting plumbers out at $85,000 to $90,000 a year. So I don't know of many four-year degree programs, myself included. I came out of Stout with a psychology degree, which unless you're going on to further schooling, there's not a whole lot. You're not going to be making that kind of money with that. So I did the PSEO, the college program through Stout myself. So by the time I graduated high school, I actually had my freshman year of college completed. When it comes to some of the funding issues as well, you know, you'd asked a previous question on funding from the state legislature. Our school district, a number of years ago, approved this Fund 46, which is a contingency maintenance fund that was started by our conservative leadership, and that has made a huge difference for our school district in the Menominee area. We've been able to keep our mill rate steady. And then one of the other questions you brought up was on PPEs and what districts are doing. Well, I'm proud to say that we're pretty well prepared, at least initially here. My weekly report that I got as a school board member from our buildings and grounds guy, his entire week was spent accepting deliveries of face masks, shields, basically spit guards, for lack of a better term. So they've been working on installing that. So I think we'll be prepared to go back in the fall. The biggest challenge is with the younger kids. Compliance with masks is probably not going to be very high with that. But, yeah, and then expanding our virtual education program as well. So with that, I think I've talked probably about enough about this topic, but it is very, very much on my mind lately. So
I will say, in my 30 years of doing political interviews, I don't think the term spit guard has ever come up before. Hey, we're getting close to the end of the hour, and I don't want to lose the opportunity to talk about jobs, because it's something that all of you mentioned in your platforms. 6 months ago, the unemployment rate in western Wisconsin was at record low levels. For the past few months, we've set record highs. And again, I'd ask you to keep your responses somewhat brief. Ryan Shirley, what can the legislature do to get the economy moving again?
What our legislature and our government can do is to let businesses get started up again, get out of the way, and let them open up, let them do so responsibly, and you'll see that unemployment rate go back down. It started to come back down since we've opened up, and it will continue to come back down. And the more, the less regulation that we can put on businesses to do what they know is right and best for their clients and their business is what's going to drive economies. And I think with the layoffs that you've seen, you're going to see a lot of new businesses starting up again. For those that have failed, you'll see a lot of their either their employees or others that will start new businesses in those areas that will fill those gaps as well. It's going to take a little bit of time, and it's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen.
Thank you, Ryan Shirley. Clint Moses, you've expressed concern about our small towns disappearing because of a lack of opportunity. A lot of small towns in your district. How do you propose reviving those communities?
Well, once again, the quick and easy answer on this is reduced regulation. Obviously, we need to be concerned, and there needs to be regulations, ordinances for public safety. But so many times, those become so overdeveloped and overreaching. A good example here is, and I've had a lot of experiences with this here in the city of Menominee, is our sign ordinance can sometimes be quite overbearing. One of my best friends owns a car dealership here in town, put a lot of money into an old facility, remodeled it, fixed it up, had approval for signage, and then they rescinded some of that because the square footage of his building didn't match the code as far as the size of the signage that he wanted or what was initially improved. So that went round and round and took about 6 months for that to clear up. But those are the types of things I'm talking about, is the city needs to be in favor of business. The businesses drive our tax revenue. So if you don't have businesses in your community, and I think Menominee did a great job of that early on, well, a decade or so ago, I think it's gotten to be not as desirable to be located, not necessarily in Menominee or in the 29th, but Wisconsin is not as pro-business as it once was. So we need to do things to make it more attractive for those businesses to locate here and provide jobs to help out our local economy, our small towns, our rural areas, and the people in those. I think the biggest mistake you can do is giving handouts, this stimulus money. The $600 on top of unemployment that people have been getting has actually been deterring people from taking jobs. I know a number of small businesses in my community that can't get people hired because people are content sitting at home and drawing that unemployment and taking that stimulus money. So I think that was a very big mistake. We're no different. Currently, I'm looking for a couple massage therapists. That is very, very difficult right now for a number of reasons, the stimulus money, and then there's still the apprehension as to whether or not people want to really be touching people all day and be in close proximity.
All right, let me step in. Neil Klein, I want to give you an opportunity to answer this. We're running out of time, but your campaign materials say securing the economic future of rural Wisconsin is at the forefront of your campaign. In 50 seconds, what are the keys to making the economic future positive?
Well, I think that it's about education, and it's about jobs, and it's about health care. And if you are not educated to get a job that can support you and your family, then you're going to struggle to be able to live the kind of life that I think we want every single person in the 29th Assembly District to live. And for that reason, focusing on those issues is really, it's talking about community vitality. It's talking about what makes a small town a place that people want to live and want to raise their kids. And when you have a vibrant economy that is encouraged and facilitated by a government that stays out of the way, and a town that's filled with people who can support themselves and their families, you're well on the way to making sure that that happens. And that's what I feel really passionately about, and that's what I'm really excited to talk about here for the rest of the campaign.
Neil Klein, Ryan Shirley, and Clint Moses, thank you for joining us. The three of them will meet in the Republican primary on August 11th. for the right to face Democrat John Calabrese in November for the assembly seat in the 29th District of Wisconsin, which includes parts of Dunn and St. Croix counties. Catherine Thomas is our producer. Kate Spranger manages our web presence and publicity. Next week, we dive into how the pandemic is affecting the least fortunate among us here in western Wisconsin. And 2 weeks from today, back to politics with the Republican candidates for primary in the 10th Senate District. Dean Kallenbach here. Thanks for joining us on the West Side. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.